Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, wind's in my ears.
Hello, and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm psychologist and e-therapist Dr. Jim Weaver, along with my fellow darn guy, Hughes Kraft, psychotherapist. And we are here. David is still working diligently on his book. He's not going to be with us for a while. And I think Dr. Mark Kiefner, the director of neurorehabilitation medicine at... blocking on the name of the place where he works. Anyway, he's going to be with us, I think, with a special announcement here at the end of the show. So Hughes and I will be boldly going out into the potosphere where no psychologists or therapists or psychology types have gone before. And failing that, we're going to try to put some fun back in dysfunctional and continue the search for life. Love and a decent relationship. So today we're going to talk about. Good morning, Hughes. By the way.
Oh, good morning, Jim.
Yeah, really. This morning we're going to be talking about pets and relationships. You know what they bring to relationships, what they can tell you about relationships. You know what their place in relationships is, what their importance in relationships is. And a bit of a different topic this morning, but I think one that has some relevance. So let's talk about pets and what they mean in relationships. I think one of the first things that a relationship with pets can tell you about is, you know, your relationship with other people, how you treat your pets, give you some insights into, you know, how you relate to other people. And conversely, if you're getting involved with somebody, you can see how they treat their pets and give you some idea of what their psychology is, what their relationship is. You probably need to have some questions if somebody doesn't treat their pet well or doesn't treat your pet well. So it can give you some questions, which, you know, nothing's definitive. It's all data, but it helps you to formulate some ideas about who it is that you're involved with.
Do you think are you suggesting there's research that kind of bears this out as a relationship tool?
You know what? I don't know whether there's any relationship. I'm talking more from my own experience, sort of anecdotal. What I see with people. I think there's a way in which pets can enhance a relationship, or they can be an irritant in a relationship. They can cause conflict and problems in relationships. And like I say, also I think they're somewhat of a diagnostic tool or data in terms of what people's relationships are like. One of the things I think, you know, happens with couples who don't have children is that they use pets as a children's substitute, and sometimes that can be good, and sometimes that can be not so good.
Yeah, and True, very true. I'm just back to thinking about using pets as a diagnostic tool. So you and I are going to have to get on that. There could be an opportunity there to write a book or do a cable show or something.
There you go.
I think we're right on with this around, you know, just how people kind of hold themselves in the world and hold their relationships, and certainly pets are a very important component to a lot of people's lives, for a variety of pets, from, you know, dogs to cats to types of animals, and, you know, how one regards them is how they regard themselves, too, and, you're bringing up the idea of kids. Sometimes parents treat their kids, too, I guess, I don't know, but, it's just an interesting overlay. So,
I'm sorry, I didn't get that part last part. So, what was that?
I was just trying to make a joke. It was a sad one, so I'm gonna let it go.
Okay.
Do you have a pet? Do you have a pet, Jim?
I do. I've got little Abby, who's a 14-year-old Australian Shepherd. And, I've had pets most of my life. You have pets?
We took in a stray cat about a year ago, and I diagnosed him as an eating disorder. He doesn't leave the kitchen when anybody's there, and he only eats when there are people there, and he wants to eat all the time.
Huh.
So I guess you can diagnose the animal. Well, I've diagnosed him as an eating disorder cat.
Right.
He's put on probably 10 pounds since he's come into our house, so I think there's something there.
Yeah, I mean, pets have brought a lot of joy into my life. Sometimes they've been, you know, essential. Especially if you're alone, they can be great companions. You asked me about research earlier. There is quite a bit of research, actually, that pets can be a great positive influence in nursing homes. I think people in nursing homes have lost a lot of connection because they're sometimes isolated away. They don't have their friends. They don't have their family as much. And pets can be very, very helpful to people in nursing homes, to give them a sense of companionship, connection. It has to be the right pet, by the way. I had a friend once who had this hyper dog, and she said, "Oh, I want to have this dog be a therapy dog for the people in the nursing home." And I said, "I don't think that dog's a very good candidate for that." She said, "Oh no," she said, "she loved her dog." I would have diagnosed her probably as being a little hysterical, but the dog was kind of hysterical too. She took the dog. It was a little teeny ratty kind of dog. And she took it to the nursing home, and they told her to never ever bring the dog back. It was just all over the place. It was making everybody very tense and uptight. So
they probably talked about that for a few days.
Yeah.
But on the other end of that continuum, I have a sister-in-law who has a dog, or in the past has had a dog, and has taken it to a nursing home once a week for visits.
Uh-huh.
And the folks really look forward to the visit from Shane. And
uh-huh.
I think that the dog also knows what value he's bringing or what comfort he's bringing them. And I think he kind of kind of stands a little bit higher when he goes along with these tours of the nursing homes. And I think he really appreciates being loved by everybody there.
Right. You know, you asked me about my pet Abby, and I take her with me, to the office, and she is an amazing therapy dog. If I am with a couple and they're fighting, particularly if it's really kind of tense, she will actually sit in the middle of them and just look up at them as they're fighting. It really. As if to say, "What are you doing?"
What's up with that?
Yeah, really. And the other thing that she does is, if somebody is having, particularly emotional moment or sad moment, crying, whatever, she will go over and put her head on their knee, And it's, you know, very sweet, very comforting. So they do know, I think, what value they have and you know, what it's important about. So I think they can be very wise and bring some wisdom to people in terms of, you know, what kind of how to live in the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing is, you know, one of the things that you can find out when you're in getting to know someone is how they treat you in relation to their pets. Are they, you know, are you equal to the pet? Are you, you know, less than the pet? Does the pet have, you know, pet status, not necessarily exalted human status? I mean, I think, you know, it's fine and good to anthropomorphize your pet and treat them somewhat positively as a person because they have some person qualities. But if you're constantly not being, you know, if you're playing second fiddle to the pet all the time, oh, that's a little bit of a, you know, a flag that you should, again, ask questions about, think about, explore. And vice versa. If you notice that you're, you know, treating your pet with more deference than you are to the person that you're thinking that you are becoming in love with, that's another thing to give you some pause and to make you ask some questions.
Yeah, what do you do if you're getting into a relationship and you can't stand the other person's pet, even though, you know, it's a wonderful animal and their relationship is really positive? How about if that pet has something against you? Well, what do you do? That's a little bit of a dilemma, isn't it?
it's a huge dilemma, and I think you have to, you know, ask yourself, is there something in you, you know, is there some message that you're communicating that the pet is picking up on and rightfully resentful about? You know, if you're resentful of the pet, they're going to be resentful of you. So I think, you know, it might help if you had some one-on-one time with that pet. One of the best ways to establish a relationship with a pet is to take it for a walk, in which you are the alpha, male or female, and you are, you know, in charge, and you're letting the dog know that, you know, you're the alpha, and you're going to be in charge, and also you're doing something, you know, positive for the pet. I guess we're talking about dogs, obviously. I don't think you take cats for walks, but we'll talk about cats in a minute. But with dogs, you know, the pet really needs exercise. It really loves exercise. That establishes a relationship and a bond with you. So get away from the your significant other, who's the pet's primary owner, and establish a relationship with them yourself. And I think that goes a long way. The other thing is, again, it's data. You know, you see how that person doesn't establish an appropriate relationship with their pet. If they're, you know, growling with you or upset with you, or they are picking up on you really are, you know, down on the totem pole in terms of status, and in fact they may even be number one. So if your significant other, who's the supposed to be the alpha person, isn't doing their alpha job, the dog could be insecure, and then they establish all the you know, all the hierarchy and the rules and whatever, and they do it, you know, in the best way that they can, which sometimes can be very, you know, kind of confusing and not appropriate to a family situation.
Yeah, the last thing you want to get into is a little bit of a struggle with a partner's pet. It's a new relationship, and maybe they're coming into the new partnership, having a longer-term relationship with their pet. You know, maybe 10, 15 years standing, and you know they're coming in and really maybe you have a little jealousy going on around all the
exactly.
care concern that they're in time that they're giving to their pet. You know, so a little bit of a thin ice to walk on, and you know, just to kind of pay attention to and kind of find a way to talk about that. I would imagine that would be a triggering event, emotional event for some folks around, you know, just care and loyalty, and especially since you want to be the one coming into the relationship of getting all that love and attention and affection.
Absolutely, and you know that there's sometimes a problem when you have a child, and the pet has been, used to being the number one, and I think you have to be, you have to be somewhat careful in terms of establishing that you're in charge and that this new baby is your, is your priority. And at the same time, that you're going to give appropriate attention to your pet, so that they know that all is not lost, but that things have changed, and it can be a little bit of a transition. So speaking of pets and children, I think pets are a great way to teach children responsibility. You know, it used to be that people lived on farms and had animals, and kids had responsibility for certain animals, and that was a way to teach them, you know, how to come into the adult world in a more responsible way. And you can do the same thing with pets. You can make a pet somebody's responsibility. It's their responsibility to feed them, walk them, groom them, care for them. And it gives them, a real sense of connectedness and a way to be accountable, and teach them a lot about relationships. So I think that can be, an excellent thing for a family to engage in, and. I think can be a way to kind of expand the family.
Yeah, and it also teaches some bigger life. Well, those are some huge lessons, and additional ones are the idea of life and death. I mean, it is a very practical matter.
Oh, yeah.
And, you're watching a chicken being born, or, you're going and picking out a new puppy, and, the lifespan of pets aren't as long as we humans, so a lot of families have to face either making a choice to put their animal down or losing a pet to age or illness, and so it teaches some real lessons beyond the day-to-day stuff, responsibility.
Absolutely. I don't know whether you've had this experience, but I've buried a number of pets, and I remember back when I was a kid, we had parakeets, had a little ceremony in the backyard, and buried the pet, buried little Budgie with a little grave marker and all those things. I think it had a significant impact on me, in terms of, caring for that pet. As you say, a very important thing. Dealing with loss, moving on. I think all of those were big, important lessons.
Yeah, I've certainly helped my kids with some passing of their pets, and you know, I help them have a nice ritual, because I realize that as they approach the burial, their pets are going to approach the burial of their parents someday. So,
let them have it. Ah, a little self-serving there on your part, I see.
Positive transition time, positive respect and regard.
I think that's very right on in terms of what kids need to learn and have experience with as they mature and grow into adulthood. I think it can be very, very helpful.
So I think we kind of covered this a little bit earlier, but just the idea, or maybe put another word to it too. Let's say there's a relationship a human relationship that's been going on for a while, and you know, maybe it's getting a little strained or tired, or there's some underlying stuff going on, and all of a sudden, you know, a couple pets are coming into the house. You know, I'm wondering if pets can be a distraction against maybe kind of addressing or facing or doing some counseling or healing around some underlying issues, you know, that just to be careful around pets being a distraction against other things that need to be happening within the healthier relationship.
Right. I think that's an excellent point. I think, you know, it happens if the relationship is not going well, mm-hmm. one or both of the parties are going to look for, some things that are missing or things that they're not getting from somewhere. And sometimes a pet is a very convenient choice. And like you say, that is a choice instead of dealing with, looking at, confronting. I mean, confronting in a positive, productive way. What's going on in the relationship? Thinking, person can focus all of their love, or trying to get all their love from the pet. I mean, it happens, you know, with children too, that parents sometimes look to the kids for things that they should be getting from their spouse or their significant other. And it happens with pets too. It's it's a sign. It's something to look at. If it looks out of balance, it's a good thing to think about and take seriously. And look at yourself too and say, okay, am I doing something appropriate or not so appropriate in focusing so much time, attention, or trying to get so much attention from my pet? And like I said earlier, sometimes when you're lonely and it's your only source, sometimes that it can be very helpful and positive. But if you're supposed to be in a relationship where you're getting that from your significant other, and you're not able to or not willing to, or it's not working out, that you can get that from that person that you're involved with, time to really look at that seriously.
Do you take the pet along to counseling though with your other significant other? I don't know. I guess.
Yeah. Could be. I see that Dr. Kiefner is with us, and so let's bring him in and say hello. Hello, Dr. Kiefner.
Hey guys, how are you?
Hey, Dr. Kiefner, long time.
It has been a long time. What did I miss today? Pets and relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up with that?
We boldly go where no one else does.
That's right.
And you'll just have to listen to the archives. I think actually we touched on a lot of really interesting things this morning. So,
my God. there's so many bad jokes here that I cannot do it.
Oh, come on. I want a bad joke. I've got to have a bad joke.
Oh, no.
No.
No. I'll tell you in private.
Okay.
So. All right.
Okay. Hey, so today is my last regular time with the Darn Guys.
I know.
So, that's a bad joke.
I know it's a bad joke. I know. So, as my grandmother used to say, Mark, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. And I would say to her, after a number of years, I said to her, you better be careful, Grandma. There's not going to be much left. So she didn't like that.
No.
But it's your way of saying it's time for you to go.
Say that again, Hughes?
It's your way of saying it's time for you to go.
Time for me to go. Yeah. Time for me to
go.
The show. Well, yeah.
That's terribly sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, we're going to miss you a lot. I think you've been just a great, great part of the show. And there will be a hole there that we'll have trouble filling.
Well, you know, I was talking to Jim when I told him this, and I said, I feel like I'm torn between two gods, you know, the god of my job, where I'm frequently sort of running late trying to get to the show here, and the god of the Darn Guys. So, being monotheistic, I had to choose one. And
I told him that was
one.
I told him that was right. I told him that was a pretty good compensation being referred to as gods. What do you think, Hughes?
I'll go with it.
Yeah,
I appreciate your efforts, Mark. Mark, I really appreciate your efforts. You know, I know you've been kind of juggling a lot and pulling yourself from meetings to kind of step in and give us some of your wisdom at the end of the show. It always seems so right on, and I've always thought you could have a show on to yourself. So, you know, maybe look for a different spot later on, and we'll tune in and drop in for a couple minutes at the end.
if I can't do a minute, I don't know I can do 30. Anyway, I've loved hanging with you guys. I've loved everything that's been part of this. You know, I don't know how you're going to edit me out of that picture at the top of the screen, but, you know, you'll have to do that.
You won't let us use your picture even?
Oh, yeah, you can continue to put me on there, sure. I'll, I can continue to tell people that I'm up there. I don't have any, like, giant last-minute words of wisdom. I guess we've talked about so many things, and, you know, you guys will talk about many, many more. But, you know, I think the thing that I'm always a little leery about is the notion of quick cures and rapid change through technology and all that sort of stuff. So I always like to encourage people to kind of stick with the basics and take care of themselves and make sure they exercise. Nothing better for your brain than that. And, you know, manage your life, reduce your stress, which I'm also doing by making this decision. So,
modeling for us. Well, we will try to keep all of those ideas in mind, which I think are very crucial. And maybe from time to time we'll have you as a special guest for something that
right,
you're
cool.
Really particular. So, great. All right. Well, we'll miss you. We love you, and we'll carry on without you.
Oh. All right.
Oh.
Take
care of yourself, Mark.
Ow.
All right.
Bye, bye, Mark.
Hug. See you. Bye.
Yeah. So that's our show for today. A sad ending, but we'll try to carry on without Dr. Mark Kiefner. And so if you want to get in touch with me, you can get in touch with me at drjimweaver.com or at 207-208-8972. And
Hughes? Can be reached at 207-774-0110. And I'm so sad, I'm going to go find my cat and pet it.
Yeah, I've got to have a little one-on-one time with Abby. Okay.
All right.
All right.
We'll see everybody.
Bye-bye.
take me away.